He does say something we can understand without any euphemisms. He does say there is nothing new under the sun. But he doesn't say that all the things under the sun are not of the Father. You may have heard of Plutarch. He was a Greek, first century, a mystical author. And he said something then that you and I have been practicing that's very important to another contemplation. There is no now in passing time. Think of the depth of what he's saying. There is no now in passing time. For now is squeezed into the future or into the past as though we should try to see a point which passes away from right to left. He's showing you the illusion of passing time. Now let's see how the Bible has given it to us in a different way. Let's look at Genesis. Turn it upside down. Instead of going from the first day to the seventh, start from the seventh and go down to the first, with the seventh right on top. And see that they're all happening at one time, simultaneous. It isn't first this one, then that one, then this one, then that one. It's a simultaneous activity. It's the vertical, eternal, that is always happening now. It's not the horizontal activity of sequence. It's the simultaneity. And all that is explained carefully as day by day by day is one simultaneous activity of the invisible spirit. Explained in bite size for the human mind. Everything in the universe of reality is happening now. Nothing new will be added to the universe of reality, and nothing can be taken away. There is not going to be a changing universe, a new universe, or an old universe dying away. All that ever will be is now already finished. And it isn't static. It is ever new within itself. Now, if we can encompass that idea that there is no newness in tomorrow, and we do not look into tomorrow for newness, but look into our widening awareness of the presence of all that already is, you will find you're moving in that direction which is called the mystical path, the invisible path to independence from that which does not exist. The world of the kingdom of God is a completed universe, and whoever makes the effort to live consciously in the finished kingdom of God, not to talk about it, not to exclaim that there is a finished kingdom and then go to live in the world, but to make a conscientious effort to live in the finished kingdom. Whoever does this will find that they will ultimately open up to the eternal now. I know it's difficult to do. People are going to talk to you about things of this world. Television's going to blare it. The newspapers will scream it. Your own inner inclinations will move toward the world. But you wouldn't let a horse run wild if you could avoid it. Why let the mind run wild? Why don't we put a harness on this mind? Wherever you find someone who is making the effort to live in the finished kingdom of God, you may find someone who irritates a few people. People may say, he's so sullen, so quiet, so unattentive. He doesn't indulge in the small talk. He's not social-minded. He doesn't play gin rummy with us. He doesn't do this or that. But you've got to accept the fact that you can't please people if you're trying to be the living spirit. Whoever is not trying to be the Christ resents one who is. It's just the nature of human life. That's why we have group meetings, so you'll see there are others making the effort too. And so you can see their progress. For instance, if there's someone here you haven't seen in 5 years, you may be quite startled. Something happening, something blossoming, and you say, "What is it?" And of course, you don't even have to ask. Suddenly it happens. The one who's putting forth the effort, who is, in a sense, going through problems because they are putting forth the effort, is obeying the will of God and is following in true form that which the Master assured us would happen. As they persecuted me, they will persecute you. But whoever endures to the end, he will be crowned the Son of God. So I'm not painting to you a pathway of roses. You'll find that you do develop a capacity, however, to put your finger to your lips and to be still about what you're doing. You know, you don't have to advertise what you're doing. And there is a way to be reasonably sociable. Others have found it while you're practicing the truth. But you must take these difficult things and work with them in conscious silence within your own inner sanctuary until you reach a point where the birth of the child in the manger of your consciousness becomes a reality, where something takes over where the human being seems to be. And the reason for the concentration on explorations outside of time is because it seems to be one of the least discussed fields in this type of work. And yet, to my way of thinking, it's one of the most ponderous stumbling blocks to progress when it is not brought out into the open and when its difficulties are not explored. Now, suppose we had been doing this for 10 years. Suppose we had all become masters of passing time. Suppose things that moved in passing time were seen with our inner eye as not of the Father, automatically, just like breathing. They couldn't take any hold upon us. And we would find that, without even taking thought about it, we would break up epidemics. We would break up all kinds of human hysteria, break up chain reactions of the negative things that are always bedeviling people. If we had this type of a developed consciousness, the kind that Joel spoke about when he said, the person wrote a letter to me, but before they put it in the mailbox, they were healed. That kind of consciousness about time will eliminate those things that appear in time which are not reality. Now let's contemplate a few more thoughts. You are all your life now. You have started with this at one time, ever so lightly, and I mean when you went into the past and into the future and into the present and saw that all of it invisibly is you. Now carry it still further. All your life is now. No new life is going to be added. No life can be subtracted. But that is also true of me and him and her. We all can say the same. We are all that life which is complete and self-existent, but we're not different lives. There's not your life and my life and his life. There's only one divine eternal life, which we are. Therefore, you must now carry this further to know that not only are you all of your life now, but your life is the only life in the universe. There is no other life in the universe than your life. And through contemplation, you can establish the fact that wherever the body goes, it is an image walking through your life, which is everywhere. It doesn't matter what form appears there, whose form, whether it's male, female, or a different species. The only life present anywhere you go is your own life. Again, the intellectual acceptance is only a beginning. Wherever you go, your life already is. And you see how that's related to the nowness, to the omnipresent I-ness. And as you attack the truth from all different angles, they all fuse into this sudden realization that I am that I am. We'll meditate at this point on the only life there is in the universe is my life. And if only one of us reaches that realization, it will spread like wildfire among us. The only life in this universe is my life. Let us contemplate the nature of that life. It is the life of God. It is eternal. Everywhere that my life is, only life is. Every appearance of anything other than life is an illusion of the sense mind. Only my life is here. It is the life of God. You may say that I am walking through your life, and I may say that you are walking through my life, and a third one may say they are both walking through my life. But we are all talking about the same life. Where is it? And a better question would be, where is it not? Do you know of any place in the universe where your life is not? If you do, you know more than God. For the Father says, I am all, and beside me there is none else. That life of God is all there is. And you are accepting that life to be your life. It is everywhere. It is our life. It is now. No time is passing in it. It is perfect. It is maintaining its perfection. It is manifesting its perfection, invisible to human sense. It has a complete, manifested, invisible kingdom of pure life manifesting its own pure ideas. You are invited to live consciously in that invisible, manifested kingdom. You do it by placing your consciousness in it. I walk in the invisible kingdom of God now. I live in the invisible kingdom of God now. I accept the qualities of the invisible kingdom of God now. What are those qualities? What are the qualities of God? They are the qualities of the invisible kingdom of God, and there is no opposite. I live in that kingdom, not in my home, not in my business, not in my community, not in my city or my country. I, the invisible self that I am, live in my kingdom consciously. And though you see the outer self, You are seeing the invisible Father with eyes that cannot see. This is what you're saying to yourself when you accept that you are consciously living as the I which is in the kingdom of God invisible. And I say, if a day passes by that you're not doing this for at least a half of an hour, you are not sowing to the Spirit. You are not building the perfection of all your so-called tomorrows. There will be no full harvest. This is how you approach a full consciousness instead of a fraction. Now, I know that there are some who are capable of living consciously in the kingdom of God, and I know the results that they have obtained in that manner. And I know that they do not have to take thought about their lives. I know that they have the confidence that at the right so-called moment, that which must be, the full expression of divinity will show forth. And it does. Because they live consciously in the kingdom of God here invisibly. They keep their consciousness in the invisible heaven. And they reap because they have sown. This is what is meant by casting your bread upon the water. When you cast your consciousness into the invisible kingdom of God here now, you have cast your bread upon the water. And it will come back in a different form as added things. Now, if you're succeeding in feeling that there is an invisible kingdom here, it is now, it is never going to be corrupted by anything that is in passing time, and that there is a self of you that lives in it as the eternal life of God, and you make the effort to do this, you will discover what no one else can tell you. That is true. It really is that way. And you will find the mortal needs change. You don't need the things you thought you needed. And the things you are given are so superior to anything you ever thought you needed that you want to go out and tell the whole world. Many of you know what I'm talking about. Now, is there enough food in what we've been talking about tonight to give you subjects for inner contemplation? Things that you can actually sit down in the silence and do within yourself, 20 minutes here, maybe 20 minutes there, before the world gets going, when the end of the day comes, at dusk when the sun has gone down and the shadows are coming through the room, when all is quiet, certain times when you find there's an inner peace that flows so easily. When you do these things, you're living in the rhythm of God. You're flowing with that rhythm. And then it embraces you. Last time we said it speaks to you, everyone said, well, I haven't yet heard the voice. But it does speak in 100 different ways. It speaks by its deeds, you see. And then your Camelot comes to life. Now, if you're not doing these things, you're not sowing. And you have no right to expect to reap without that spiritual sowing. You must learn that contemplation is a part of every day if you want to live consciously in the invisible kingdom of God here now. And then back it up with a silence. I call them the think and the think not, backed up together. First the think, and back it up with a think not. You've got a contemplation and a meditation, and in them you have planted seeds. And you have opened yourself to that inner flame. And the harder the subject you start out with, the better. Because the idea is to expand, not to take the easy way. And so living your full life now, consciously, by living in the kingdom, will take you out of this point of passing consciousness. All of this is just a preparation with the idea that we can perhaps, as this takes hold, move into a still different area than we have discussed. Setting the consciousness into a certain level of awareness, a certain receptivity, so that it will accept a difficult challenge that it may not have had to accept in the past. So build that broad base. Tomorrow morning we are going to move into another awareness. And it will take all that you bring for us to make this ascension together. If you walk into this room tomorrow with the idea that you are now living in the kingdom of God, on faith perhaps, but still making the effort, I assure you it will help you move deeper into that kingdom. We'll close with a meditation. My kingdom is not of this world, but my kingdom is not from hence. My kingdom is where you stand. My kingdom is invisible to all human eyes. And that invisibility is all that is here. Only the invisible is here. The visible is not. But what is invisible to human eyes is not invisible to your soul. You can enter my kingdom when you walk in it as a living soul who accepts that only the life of God exists in reality. And that life is your life. Without opposite, without fractionalization, without division. And that life is the life of everyone who walks in mortal form. But it is not a life in their form. There are ground rules. And if you're willing to sort them out and look at them and obey them and faithfully carry out the will of the Father to be purified of mortal thought and all types of mortal thought, you will find the key in the door of this invisible kingdom. You will find transformation taking place at all levels of your life, physical, emotional, mental, psychological. All levels of your life will show forth a soft transformation, a sign that your calling card into the kingdom is being printed and you will be chosen to enter. If you seek it, if you ask for it, the kingdom, and if you knock on the door, and say, I stand here not as a mortal, but as the life of God. Accepting all divine reality as the only reality I know. This is how we enter the kingdom. We unself in order to transform. We don't take in thoughts about our needs or conditions. We unself. This unselfing must continue until the false sense of self has dwindled down to the zero point. And this is the birth of Christ in consciousness at that moment. Let's go to a birth tomorrow together. And I'll see you in the morning. Thank you.